It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I spent a good part of my morning taking calls from past winners, trying to give them information about when they can get a prize. I'm letting you all know we do have Cougar tickets to give away today. But you may not get confirmation of your tickets within 12 hours of winning. That's all I'm saying. So if you don't get confirmation between now and the next time I'm here, whether it be with John Lance or this show, maybe wait. I know there's the urge to call, but wait. We think we have it all figured out. The Cougs tickets are on the way to the people who won yesterday. The Takaris Orandas stuff, we figured out as well. In fact, I talked with the person who was handling the gift cards. She was grabbing the gift cards while I was talking to her. So if you're looking for those because you're part of Lance's contest, they are going to come to the station and she'll figure out with you whether you want to pick them up or have them sent to you. But just in the future, if you win something on a Wednesday, you may not get the confirmation email on Wednesday night. That's all. I'm telling you. I certainly took more calls on that than I did anything about someone wanting to get on the air. So we will have Cougar tickets to give away. And if I kind of figure it out correctly, I think we're going to have two pairs because we didn't give away a pair on the John and Lance show this morning. So I think we have two pairs of tickets. We're your home of Cougar tickets, the Del Olalea show featuring Sean. As far as actual sports stuff, now that the logistical stuff is out of the way, I was thinking about this because it looks like Cooper Rush will be the starting quarterback for the Ravens against the Texans on Sunday. Lamar Jackson didn't practice. Roquan Smith didn't practice. We do have some injury news regarding the Texans as far as guys who you want to be on the field on Sunday who didn't practice on Wednesday. The Texans and D'Amico Ryan's tenure. I'm not going to go back to Bill O'Brien and Gary Kubiak. I just like to forget about the Cully and Smith years. I consider those the dark years when they weren't even trying to win. So I'm going to remove those from the equation. Yes, if you go through the history of the Texans, they have lost to some bad quarterbacks. But that's not on D'Amico's resume. What is on his resume? When we think, wow, we got a real advantage. Cooper Rush is starting. They do have rookie year Bryce Young on their resume. They've got Zach Wilson on the resume. They've got Will Levis on the resume. And they've got, he was playing well, the corpse of Joe Flacco. That corpse is still animated, although he just got benched back in 2023. So they do have some quarterbacks on their resume where you would think D'Amico Ryan's defense or team losing to that.
Yeah. Desmond Ritter.
Yeah, Desmond Ritter. They do have that on
their
resume.
It's like almost they've lost to more bad quarterbacks than good ones. It's almost to that level. Where
depending on how you feel about Trevor Lawrence, you can. Yeah. I don't know if bad, but maybe average, he fits into that category. So when you think, Cooper Rush, great. That's a real advantage. There's a history that suggests maybe not so big of an advantage. And we went through his record this morning. Cooper Rush is 9-5 as a starting quarterback. Does he have a better winning percentage than the current Texan starter?
Yeah.
Now, limited opportunities on Cowboys teams that varied from pretty good to not so good. He has gone 9-5. So the Cooper Rush of it all isn't the reason you should feel confident. Sure, you should feel better about it because it's not going to be Lamar Jackson, it looks like. But have the Texans lost to this combination, a league-worst defense plus a backup quarterback? That might be the difference. Because the Cooper Rush part, I can see a D'Amico Ryan's team losing a game 20-17 to Cooper Rush or whatever. But when you throw in how bad the Ravens have been defensively, is this, if it happened, if we're projecting something negative happening and it being a loss, would it be one of the worst losses? If you remove the Ravens logo from the guys playing, if you remove that from the actual roster you're going to see on Sunday, would it be one of the worst losses, considering what it would mean for the Texans to get back to 2-3 and get your season kind of righted? I think now that you're the favorite in the game and that Ravens defense is missing stars and they're just flat out bad anyway, you throw in the Cooper Rush of it. Although the Ravens offense is pretty healthy outside of like Ron Stanley.
Like, that is the, like, you know, benefit of the doubt that they get, is that it's like, well, they still have Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, the two tight ends.
They do.
DeAndre Hopkins, who makes two good catches a game.
Yeah, but as far as where your strength lies, your strength should, you would imagine, although it did not last year, match up with their strength as it is right now. Their offense is clearly the strength of that team, even without Lamar Jackson. Your defense, clearly the strength of your team. So if we're going weakness versus weakness, while we have issues with the Texans and outside of a fourth quarter against the Titans, they've been pretty, if I'm being kind, mediocre. But if I'm not being kind, flat out ass at times offensively. I just want to channel Cam Ward. But your weakness is much better than a Ravens weakness when you consider the guys who may be missing. Roquan, we'll see about the corners who are banged up. I would say your weakness is...
I wouldn't say much.
It's better. Because the Ravens are... The Ravens,
I wouldn't say much better.
Look, yeah, we've gone through the Texans' numbers as far as their offense, and particularly if you exclude the fourth quarter against the Titans. But the Ravens' defense through 4 weeks, they're 27th in rushing yards allowed, 29th in pass TDs allowed, 31st in rushing TDs allowed, 31st in first downs allowed, 31st in total yards allowed, 32nd in points allowed, and 29th in passing TDs allowed. They're flat out terrible.
Yeah.
They're on track to be one of the worst, maybe the worst defense in Ravens history, considering it's not that long of a history. They've been around since, the mid-90s as the Ravens. But I would still say the Texans' numbers, not great, but they're not as bad as what the Ravens have been.
It's pretty bad.
The Ravens have given up.
They scored 9 and 10 in half their games. They scored 9 and 10.
We did go through even the touchdowns they did score and how cheap they were and whether they were actual real touchdowns. But through four games, the Ravens are on track to be one of the worst defenses you've ever seen.
Yeah.
The Texans were in the mode of, yeah, that's a bad offense, but not historically bad.
I also think there's a little bit of the Ravens' bad numbers came against
the Chiefs,
and the Chiefs, Lions, Bills.
But that's the Chiefs team who got healthy against the Ravens. The Chiefs weren't a juggernaut offensively before they saw the Ravens.
Yeah, but that's still a better offense than yours. The bad Chiefs offense is better than yours.
I'm not saying they're scoring 37 points. Maybe they get to 24, and that's enough.
24. They got 10 against the Jags. It's just like... But the Jags are
a better defense.
And a free touchdown from the Jags, yeah, too. They gave you a free one.
The Jags are a better defense than the Ravens.
I know, but they're not that much better.
No, they are. You start looking at the numbers. Like, they actually now force turnovers. They're actually better, much better than the
Ravens.
So they're...
Three touchdowns, essentially, better?
Look, you can't go game by game. You never know what's going to happen. But the Ravens are, as you would say in Spanish, basura. They're garbage. They stink.
Yeah, but they have an opportunity to get right.
I'm just telling
you.
Their
own coach says it.
Yeah, but if it didn't have the Ravens logo on it, and I know the Texans have been bad, you would feel a little differently with what I'm setting up here. Where your weakness is better. Fine, you don't want to say much better.
No,
but it's better.
Don't want to say
it's
much.
Better than their weakness by however much you want to put on it. And your defense
last week, all the Texans numbers that we talked about were in the 20s.
Still weren't as,
or in the 20s and 30s.
They weren't as bad as this though. They're bad, and we acknowledge how bad they were. But they weren't as bad as how bad the Ravens defense is. This is not me saying the Texans are going to go in there and light them up for even 28. I'm not saying they're scoring four touchdowns. But when you include what should be your strength against a backup quarterback, if the game falls in the 21-20 category or 24-20, that's a reasonable way to win this game. That's all I'm saying. And if they lose, I'm not going to be surprised. It's just the Ravens and the Texans. It goes a certain way.
Yeah. And it's also Derrick Henry and the Texans.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things, you know. 2011, the Texans were division winner. They went to Indianapolis and lost.
You don't have to. Painter. You don't have to give me the history. I've been here for it all.
I mean,
they lost
to
Ryan Fitzpatrick before Fitzmagic was a thing.
Yeah,
I know.
It just happened so much.
But I wasn't going to put past. That's why I laid out D'Amico's bad losses to bad quarterbacks. Not what a
Gary Kubiak
and others were responsible for. I think that's unfair. But yes, there's a Texans historical line of disasters against bad quarterbacks, which I would understand why people would go, you know what? Doesn't matter who's on the other side. This team has shown themselves to be capable over the last 20 plus years of losing a game like this. And I'm distinctly aware. I'm aware of what could happen. I'm just laying out why it shouldn't happen. Not that it won't happen. This isn't a game they should lose. It's not a game. I'm not saying it's a game they can't lose. It's a game they very well could lose.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a team in the NFL that they can't lose to.
Yeah, I'm just saying everything's set up for them to scratch out some 17-14 game and win it that way. That's all.
And we're not going to do the, hey, now they're 2-3.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Because then.
Hey, they're 2-3 now. You know, playoffs back on the table.
It all depends on what the other teams in the division do. If the Colts drop a game and the Jags drop a game, now you're one game back, then that's a different conversation.
But it's still like this is the same team from the first 3 weeks. They just played an ass Titans team and an injured Ravens team.
Yes, but I don't think much of the Jags, although the win in San Francisco is a big deal. We saw them on the same field. There's not that much difference between one version of ass and the other. What we saw, Jags-Texans was a game that was awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
It really was.
We saw both those teams. The one hope, if we're just giving the AFC South some credit, would be the Colts. They're 3-0, and then they lost a really good game to the Rams, who are a good football team. So am I saying the Texans are as good as the Colts? I think the Colts are much better now that Xavier Howard retired. I think the Colts are actually better. I don't know how you could play much worse than he did. I think it's interesting that now that you're not playing well, it's time to remember that your family's first. He's a very Urban Meyer of him.
Hey, he wants to go to volleyball games.
if you missed
for
it.
For 1 year and then coach Ohio State. Yeah, that's what Xavier Howard said.
Yeah, he wants to go coach Ohio State. If you missed it, Xavier Howard, the former Colts quarterback, has retired. They picked him up off the street like right before the year started. That's how bad they felt like their cornerback room was. He wasn't good. I think his main highlight of the season was in week one when he recovered a fumble he didn't even force against the Dolphins. As far as actually the job of covering receivers, he's been pretty bad at it. He has decided to walk away. And I'm sure there's probably a worse option out there on the roster. That's why he was starting. But I can't imagine it could be much worse. He was not good. All right, we'll go to break with that. Yes, we have a differing of opinion. Sean's allowing history to dictate what he thinks will happen.
I mean, also, like, the first 3 weeks of the season.
That is my history reference. That's
and history. 2011 against Dan Orlovsky or whoever.
This is not, as I'll cap it all with this. This is not me saying the Texans will win, or I even believe confidently that they will. It is me saying that they should win this game. It's also a lot of, if you're ever going to beat the Ravens, this has to be the time. But maybe we believe in the infrastructure and the institution that is the Baltimore Ravens, and they'll just find a way to beat a flawed Texans team. That's possible, too. Payne, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. If you want to follow him, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll also get to some comments from Ime Udoka. We have speculated about what Reed Sheppard will be this year, what his importance is. Is he going to be your fifth starter? Well, Ime Udoka did not lay out what his starting five will be, but he did have some words about Reed Sheppard and what he expects of him. So we'll get to that as it's Rocket season. I mean, they haven't played a game yet, but they're certainly practicing, and the clips are out of Reed Sheppard flipping a ball over Kevin Durant, and Chris Mannix, noted basketball guy, was like, the Rockets' backcourt won't be a problem. I'm paraphrasing. Just because he saw a practice highlight. What are we doing? Well, we'll hear from Ime Udoka about Reed Sheppard today, and we'll give away some tickets as well. We'll be back.
ESPN. 97.5.
Was in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll hear from Ime Udoka. Dan Orlovsky did some research and found out something about how the Ravens attack opposing defenses. I imagine the stat he found unacceptable is about to change, considering Lamar Jackson looks to be unavailable. But let's get to Pena here. He wants to join us. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale?
What's up?
Hey, so if I know the season's still pretty early, but if the Texans do beat the Ravens, do you think that the Ravens still have a better chance of making the playoffs? And yesterday or a couple of days ago, the Russo brothers posted a picture on social media, I don't know which one, but they posted a picture saying "Look hard." It was a picture of for Doom. I looked hard, but I couldn't see like what I was supposed to be looking at. I don't know if you saw that and if you got anything from that picture. Thank you. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. I looked at that. I saw it, but I didn't look hard because the only thing I noticed was just a giant room of green screen, which is fine. That's how they make those movies. But I wasn't going to waste my time. I think it was in black and white. That movie is a bit away. I'm good. I'm good on the hype. I'll just wait for the first trailer, and then I'll decide if that looks interesting or not. And because I'm a sucker, I'll just watch it either way. It is what it is. Social media hype for comic book movies, I'm long past that. I don't care who's in it at this point. I'll find out in the trailer. And in fact, I prefer not to know who a lot of the people are who are in it. I like a surprise. That's where I am on that. As far as the Ravens and Texans. So the Ravens, if they lose, they go to 1-4. And because the Texans were 0-2 and 0-3, we all became familiar with the stats about how hard it is to get to the playoffs after you fall to 0-2 or 0-3. I would say if the Texans win and they're 2-3 and Lamar Jackson's team is 1-4, I'm going to go with the Ravens have a tougher chance. I get what you're saying. He'll come back. The Ravens were expected to win the division, expected to maybe make a Super Bowl. And the Texans were at best maybe an AFC title game. Some people had those hopes for them. But if you look at what the Ravens have in front of them, two games Lamar Jackson is expected to miss. The Texans, then the Rams at home. So they're both home games. So if you're 1-4, you got the Rams coming to town. You got a real shot to drop to 1-5. And as much as the first segment was about the Texans and their issues, if you're staring 1-5 in the face and the Texans are 2-3 with the bye, I would lean Texans, particularly because they're in a division that doesn't have anyone I'm particularly afraid of. Although when I look at it, as it stands now in the AFC North, with the leaders of the divisions, the AFC South and the AFC North, it's the Steelers and the Colts and the Jags are tied at 3-1. Who's the best team out of those three right now? I saw the Steelers Sunday morning against the Vikings. Of course, their defense took advantage of a Vikings offensive line that was banged up in the middle of the game, which is the worst way for it to happen, for you to have guys who were starting get hurt, and now the guys who you would have had all week to get adjusted and ready don't have that because they have to jump in the middle of the game. And once that happened, the Steelers got after Carson Wentz. And there is the Aaron Rodgers part of it all. How much does he have left? Can he make it through a 17-game schedule, even removing an injury that takes him out? But just can his play be something that the Steelers can lean on? I think the Colts are better than the Steelers.
I was going to say, I think the answer is the Colts.
Yeah, I think the Colts are the best team out of the three. So the Ravens would be going after the weaker team because I think, of course, we all believe the Bengals are going to continue to fall off.
Yeah, but they would be – they'd be.
But if they're 1-4, potentially 1-5, I think
– it's just a numbers game at that
point. It's just the Texans have a better shot, and the Texans don't even have to win a division. They can be a wild card. Yeah. So it's all – it would all lean Texans because the Ravens at 1-4, that's tough. And as I said, you're staring at 1-5.
Yeah, whoever loses is like – not out.
No.
But it's like
it's tough.
Way more out than the team who wins, yeah, which makes a lot of sense because they're 2-1-3 teams, and being 2-3 is way better than 1-4, especially because they're two teams, even, you know, Lamar won't play, and you can sweep that under the rug. But at the end of the day, like, these are two teams that have real issues, that have shown real issues the first 4 weeks of the season, that the Texans can't score, the Ravens can't stop anybody from scoring. That is just the reality of these teams. So no matter which one is 1-4 at the end of Sunday, like, they're going to be in a really tough spot because they're going to have to fundamentally change the way that they've played the first 5 weeks of the season.
Yes, the whole, well, they're 1-4, and you look at the schedule and think they can make some headway. They can make some headway because of the division or their schedule, but they're 1-4 for a reason.
Yeah, they're a bad team.
They're a bad team. You would have to lean into your, particularly with the Ravens, your preconceived notions of them coming into the year that this is just some blip and they'll get it all together. Well, if they're 1-4 through five games and the defense is the reason again why they lose, not because of Cooper Rush is out there, then it's not a blip. They're just awful defensively, and why would you expect that to change? So, yes. Texans win. I lean to them. I think it'll be tough for them too, but I'll lean their way.
Yeah, they're both Ravens. Probably under like 50% of like the winner. It's like still like not looking great because of what the Texans have for the rest of their schedule. But the Ravens are in the same boat where it's like, again, we thought the Texans offense would be at least a little bit better than it is now. Like we kind of set the expectation of like be like kind of below average, but not can't score a touchdown. And the Ravens was the same way. We're like, their defense should be fine. Like, that should be good enough. And neither have been true. And so they would have to actually show you that change a quarter of the way through the season.
So I was thinking about it now that when I brought it up earlier this week, more in a joking tone, that the Texans were only a game out of the wild card spot. Do you think the Texans have to win the division to make the playoffs this year? Do you think they have to chase down one of these teams, or do you think they can, at where they stand now, be a wild card team and make it in?
I need to pull up the, like, I just need to know which teams what record. Like, I think of seven? So, like, the AFC East, one playoff team, I think we're pretty safe in saying that. Maybe the Patriots could be the second playoff team. You might get three from the West, two or three from the West.
Possibly. And, yeah, it's two early to be like, well, this 2-2 is better than the other 2-2 that this other team had.
Yeah.
We're still working off what we thought of the teams before.
Yeah, and that's why, like, the Chiefs and Broncos being 2-2, I'm more into that than the Patriots being 2-2.
Yeah.
Just cards on the table. Same thing with the Bengals. They started 2-0 with Joe Burrow. Now they don't have Joe Burrow, so their 2-2 looks a little worse. So I think it's possible because right now it's Colts, Jags 3-1, Steelers 3-1, Chargers 3-1. Bills 4-0, and then there's 1, 2, 3, 4 counting the Ravens or counting the Bengals 2-2 teams.
I think you would say because of the three games remaining against the division teams we mentioned that the Texans at least control more their destiny in the division than they would.
That's true.
In the wild card,
yeah, because they have two remaining against the Colts, one against the Jags, and the Titans,
and the Titans, who are, of course, a bad team. While the other team, and they'll play some of these other teams too, because they have their own first place schedule to deal with.
Yeah, but they'll play the Bills, they'll play the Chargers, they'll play, I think, the Ravens.
They will play
the Chiefs.
They will play the Chiefs. Yeah. Both finished in first place last year. So
yeah,
so the Texans can kind of beat up on the AFC South if they're capable and put themselves right back in that race. All right, we'll go to break. We will hear from Ime Udoka when we come back. He has some thoughts on Reed Sheppard. It's a big year for Reed Sheppard. Ime Udoka mentioned that in these comments, so we'll get to that when we come back. But before we go to break, we'll talk about Monument Chevrolet. Okay, truck month is over, but that doesn't mean the deals aren't still flying at Monument Chevrolet. Simply go to the website, which is monumentchevrolet.com, and see all the things they have to offer. Look into the EV Blazer. That is one of their best cars, and if you're looking for an EV vehicle, none better than to check out the EV Blazer. And look at the price that fits what you're looking for. It doesn't have to be the EV Blazer. Maybe you're looking for the Silverado 1500. You heard me talk about that during truck month. Those vehicles are in stock, readily available for you to grab. So whether you want an EV Silverado or the traditional Silverado 1500, it's all there for you. And that's part of their new inventory. Of course, they've got a great selection of pre-owned inventory. Maybe you're not looking to put your new driver into something new. You want something more affordable for them, more reasonable for them, and you also maybe just don't want to give them a new car. Understandable. They've got a great inventory there for you to check out. And of course, if you run a business and you need something for your fleet, they have an extensive commercial selection of vehicles as well. So check it all out at monumentchevrolet.com, or excuse me, selection of commercial vehicles. All out there at Monument Chevrolet. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. You'll meet the great people, see the great cars, and get something you'll love. It's Monument Chevrolet. And as always, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So I look up from my laptop, and we got ESPN on in here. And while we are, neither one of us, Sean and I, we're not TV producers. Sure, we'll click a button to make sure you guys can watch us on YouTube or Twitch or Twitter.
Yeah, we're streamers.
That's more of a directing thing where
we're taking different shots.
We don't go camera one, camera two. Yeah. But, you know, we can go from the full desk to the one shot, just depending on
remote camera.
Yeah, we control some of that
PTA.
Stuff.
PTA.
Yeah, so we're more TV director than we are TV producer. And I say that because I'm trying to think if I could fit in at ESPN, because we're 4 weeks into the season and there's already a cry on down there, and it probably came from a producer. Say, hey guys, you should talk about this. Are the Titans ruining Cam Ward? That's the question being asked. I don't know if I have that in me. Like, would I have ever thought to ask that question? They probably are. They're the Titans. But what I have ever...
Brian Callahan.
Segment over.
Dope.
He's ruining Cam Ward. Move on to something else.
Brian Callahan's a dope.
That's it. But what I've ever thought to make that a topic? The Titans of all teams on a national television show.
Yeah. I mean, hey, at least they're talking about Cam Ward.
At least
they're
talking about the number one overall pick for
at
once.
At least it's not day two of thoughts on Shedeur Sanders' mute press conference.
This would be day one. Of that.
Oh, would it be day one?
For Get Up. They wouldn't have been able to do it yesterday.
Oh,
it happened
after
their
show.
So I'm sure they did get to it. But you're probably right. It's at least good that they're talking about the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
But we do have a dissenting opinion. I don't think they're ruining Cam Ward, according to former NFL player Andrew Hawkins. They're doing the opposite and building a monster. His time will come.
Okay. What's Rex Ryan say?
He's not on set.
Tannenbaum. What is Tannenbaum?
Not there either. So it's a players panel. Oh. It's Greenberg and a bunch of players.
Okay.
So that's the non-player in you, Sean.
That is the non-player in me, wanting the guys who will say stuff to say stuff.
Well, we'll call
I wonder what Rex Ryan has to say about all things, really.
Hey, Rex, you went in on one.
Does he have a podcast?
He may. I don't
know.
They probably had to chill out on Rex.
Is it like from The Office where Ryan sets up Creed just to like have a blog, but it's just an open Microsoft Word document that he types into? And he's like, I'll be honest, there's no way I could publish this.
I don't know what Rex is up to when he's not on. I mean, it's like 20 years ago I knew what he was up to, but that's a different conversation altogether.
I'm just saying someone should give him a microphone that's not plugged into anything and just let him talk for an hour.
I guess that's what your wife is for, to talk to her about about things that won't go public, as long as you can trust her.
Honey, let me tell you. I think the Titans are ruining Cam Ward.
There it is. I just don't think I would do that. But that's
why those guys have that. No, it would be lower on my list of things to talk about, yeah, I'll be honest.
I'm like, what are the Cowboys?
I guess it is a Thursday morning.
It's so. True. They've gone through all the
all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. So let's get to the Titans. Let's get to the Rockets.
Yeah, real good stuff. It's Rocket season.
It's going to be fun.
If the Ravens beat the Texans, I think on this show it is Rocket season.
We will have to talk Texans because it is the NFL.
Yes.
But yes, as far as my main interest, it'll be about what this Rockets team will be. Because at 1-4, and you're losing to Cooper Rush and one of the worst defenses in football in that scenario, I know what the Texans are. That's not a good football team. And it'll be a lot about not letting go of the rope. I don't want to hear not letting go of the rope before week six. And the Texans lose to the Ravens, it'll be a lot of that talk about how season's not over, we still got to fight, blah, blah, blah.
We haven't been eliminated.
All that stuff. That's very early in the season for all that stuff. So let's hope to avoid that. But yeah, you did lay out a scenario where it may be Rockets' focus. And their coach maybe has less of a decision to make now with Fred VanVleet being out. Minutes for Reed Sheppard seemed like an inevitability. Ime Udoka has said some positive things about him in the last couple of days as the Rockets open up training camp. And when asked about Reed Sheppard and what's needed, here's what Ime had to say.
Growth in Reed Sheppard's game in the offseason and coming into camp now.
There's some physical, no doubt. On both ends, him getting used to the game and adjusting to that. So he's done a good job with his body and playing, being stronger. But really the main thing is aggressiveness and confidence. You see him kind of understanding what it takes to be successful in the league, and he looks like a different player as far as that. Second-guessed some things last year at times. Wanted to be aggressive, and he's done that on both ends.
He also said, I think Reed addresses some of the same things that Fred does. This guy is ready. I think it's his time right now. We're going to need him. He's going to get even better the more he plays regular minutes. That echoes what Rafael Stone has said, and he said it in this very room when he joined John and Lance, that they need Reed Sheppard. It's his time. It's time to go. It's his second year. You can call last year redshirt year. You heard some of Ime Udoka why that might have been, not being so sure of himself, Reed Sheppard was, and second-guessing some things about how to play the game at the NBA level. Now that stuff needs to be out the window. Whether he starts or whether he's your backup, but primary backup ball handler off the bench, he's going to need to be a contributing member of this team just by circumstance. And, you know, you invest that high of a pick. Look, that draft we talked about at the time wasn't a great draft. Reed Sheppard coming out of that draft, a lot of people thought that was a clear rookie of the year. He was the clear star of that draft. And, I mean, when we talk about Summer League, that certainly was something that was cemented by a Summer League performance. And then, of course, the regular season happened when real basketball started being played and things just changed. But he needs to be a dude here. Like, for the Rockets to be what they think they can be, it won't all fall on Reed Sheppard, but he's going to play a bigger part than maybe than certainly we thought. So
he's got to be like a real guy.
He's got to be a real guy. He can't be this thing that's a theory. Yeah. Like Reed Sheppard in theory could help this team. We need to see concrete evidence.
What is like the bare minimum that Reed Sheppard has to do to like be? Is it like make shots? Like be a willing and good, because I think that's a lot of what Ime's talking about with the second guessing, is that you'd watch the games and he just would be open and just wouldn't shoot it.
Let it fly, Reed.
Yeah. Is it just like letting it fly and being high 30s, you know, being like a 37, 38, 39%?
How about I give you this, considering what happened in the playoffs? Can he be a better shooting young TJ McConnell this season? TJ McConnell, who can run an offense, who can get guys to basketball,
second unit,
and can take advantage of situations, because TJ would go look to score if he saw an advantage. Reed Sheppard needs to be that type, and of course, have the wherewithal to know that, okay, this isn't right for me in this situation.
Yeah.
Let me pull it out and run
offense.
Pest
on defense.
Yeah, stuff like that. An energy guy, at least to start. I think if we get that, and TJ McConnell has been a good player in the league for a long time, we saw his contributions in the playoffs, as he helped the Pacers make it to a game 7 of the NBA Finals. So I think if we're looking at a young, and it's me doing the whole, hey, look, two white guys.
Yeah.
So that's on me.
No, it's I'll let it slide this time.
Thanks, Sean, for allowing me to do that. I was trying to think of another player, but I was thinking of a backup guard on a team who has a chance to make the finals. I don't know if he's as physical or has the same type of game as Andrew Nembhard, does. Nimhard was a big part of the Pacers' run as well, so I didn't want to comp him to that.
But especially playoff Nimhard seems like a stretch.
Yeah,
because he's the guy who's gone for like 30 in playoff games.
Then that's not what. Yeah, if there's a game or two where that happens, sure. Or just even a game where he wins a game because of his shooting, that's cool. But that's not what we're looking for. Nimhard had to be on it consistently for the Pacers throughout that playoff run. So something in it like that. You got your backup ball handler who can energize, make shots, and play good defense in a way that makes him a main contributor and maybe someone you can't take off the floor in some games. That's what you're looking for. That's what you want from the number three pick, and that's what they're going to ask of him. They got plenty of dudes around him, but he's got to be a dude himself.
Can he be Peyton Pritchard?
You did another one. I didn't want to do Peyton.
I can do that.
I didn't want to do Peyton Pritchard because I didn't want to have to hate Reed Shepard, so I didn't want to compare to Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, but just the numbers. You know,
sure, I understand.
28 minutes a game, 14 points, 40% from three.
That's a really good. That would be a really good
3.5 assists, one steal.
I will say not that he can't be Peyton Pritchard, but I don't think he will be that efficient this year.
Yeah, maybe like a previous year. Because this is, Peyton Pritchard's probably 27?
His best year. Yeah, he's a young
player. He was a four-year college guy.
He's been around quite a bit now, and as you said, a four-year college guy. So we're looking for Reed Shepard to be a real contributor, and that's what the Rockets are looking for as well.
Year before Peyton Pritchard, 22 minutes a game. But 9.6 points, 38.5 from three. I think that's
would you accept
more doable?
Miles,
I need double. I kind of need double digits.
Would you accept Deuce McBride?
Wow, it's hard to. Wow,
it's hard.
You really broke the mold with that one.
It's hard for you to get your head around.
Hats off to you.
I would accept Deuce McBride. That type of game,
mm-hmm.
where you are a guy who is important, and Deuce McBride was nearly 10 points per game, 37% from three, backup guard for the Knicks. That's a good effort for Reed in his first real year of being asked to be a contributor.
Am I casual for being like, I kind of need 10.5 and not 9.5?
I don't know why you need the extra. It just feels better to be a double-digit guy.
It just looks better in the box score.
I get it. Visually, it looks better. Fine. He gets up.
I need 10.5. I'm sorry.
He ups the three-point percentage to about 38, and that gets you 10.5. Cool.
Yeah, take one more three a game, and
sure,
more often than not, or not more often, but around 40% of the time, you'll make it.
That's fine.
That raises you a point.
Get him in the double digits. That's a good start.
Looking
to
at 4.4 year one.
Understood. You don't want
it. It was a different role, but still.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, TJ O'Connell, Deuce McBride. And no,
I'm glad we got a Deuce McBride
and no Peyton Pritchard, just because it'd be annoying.
It would be annoying. Credit to Reed Shepard for being a 6'1" white basketball player and being really good in college and not being annoying. Just like
it's very difficult.
Honestly, credit to Reed.
Yeah, I don't even know if height matters. If you were a really good white college basketball player, there's a real chance people were annoyed by you.
Yeah, and he was like,
if you were a guard, like, of course you go back to Duke and Christian Laettner, but big guys generally don't catch that.
No,
it's generally the pesky guards
normally like take a charge and do the thing where they clap up in someone's face.
Sure, you don't. That's a very Duke thing you're remembering.
Yeah,
what was his name? Marshall from
Henderson.
Marshall Henderson. He was never going to be an NBA player, but Marshall Henderson. He was a troll though.
Different kind of annoying. Yeah.
He welcomed it.
Yeah, yeah. Almost. I respect that.
Yeah. He would look into the crowd and taunt them after making the game winner. That was his vibe.
It's a little bit of like, he's like a coach on the floor.
Yeah, he wasn't.
That's the code that it's like,
He was
okay.
Like, Marshall Henderson wasn't a tryhard. He was just kind of an innate a-hole.
I don't think any broadcaster of a Marshall Henderson Ole Miss game was like, he's like a coach on the floor out there. That's why coach so-and-so loves him.
Never heard it. Never heard that before. Never. Ever. Ever. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll come back with we'll do a giveaway when we come back. If you want your chance to win tickets to watch the Cougs play, we're going to do that when we come back. It's Tech in town. Big game, two undefeated teams. Tech next nationally ranked, thinks they can make a playoff run, see if the Cougs can get in their way and kind of cause a detour. We'll do that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We talked about it quite a bit in segment one. The Texans' offense through three quarters of that Titans game was more of the same of what we saw in the first 3 weeks of the season, and then they got it going in week four. In the fourth quarter in week four. That has something to do probably with the Titans realizing their offense wasn't going to do anything to win this game. Sometimes the will of a defense just gets broken when they realize they got no shot. But the touchdowns are the touchdowns. You scored all three from your rookies, two from Woody Marks, one from Jaden Higgins. So C.J. Stroud and the Nick Cayley relationship continues to be a topic of conversation as they try to gel. Here's C.J. Stroud on Nick Cayley wanting to keep his principles but also working with his players to find the right mix.
Oh, he's done a good job of trying to listen to other guys but also keep his core mentality and core plays. But, you know, this game's evolving. It's not, you know, what it used to be, and it's not what it was last year. You got to just find like Coach Day used to always say in college, every year when we hit the off season for, like, self-scout, he'd always say you have to become the new iPhone. You know, like, every year you got to upgrade or you'll get caught up. So, like, iPhone, they come out with a new iPhone every year, you know, so they don't get caught up from other brands. So I think that's the same thing, like, but it takes time. It's not just overnight. I think he's doing a good job of, like, listening and to what I like, to what the team likes. And a lot of our guys are young, so a lot of the run and gun and, like, the fun stuff is, like, easy for us because we've done it before. But we're just trying to both get off, you know, our mark and, you know, push towards being uncomfortable with one another, but also trying to get some comfort plays in as well.
I don't think that's why Apple releases new phones every year and a half. It's not because they're afraid of Samsung catching them. It's because we're all suckers with iPhones. Well, some of us are, and we just got to buy the new thing.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the try, Ryan Day and CJ Stroud. But if I know the human condition, Apple already knows they got us in their back pocket. That's why they release a phone every 18 months.
Yeah. I do wonder, do you know anyone who actually gets a new phone every year?
I don't know anyone specifically. Yeah. Like, I don't know them, but I know of I've seen people talk about how they'll get every new Apple thing available. They always got to get the new phone. That's part of some people.
I know some people do that. It's just so crazy that enough people do that to where it's like a viable strategy.
Yeah.
to do it. Because I just use my phone until it stops working and then. Or not even stops working until it gets like the kind of like balance of how annoying it is to deal with like my battery no longer working or whatever.
Yeah.
Or a screen crack.
If I drop it and there's a screen crack. Yeah. That'll be the motivating factor for me to get a new phone.
Yeah. But I've gone like 5 years without upgrading before. There's like a difference. Not that
there are times when you're younger and you're trying to impress a certain person. That if they try to bully you, like casual bullying, oh, I can't believe you still have that phone, then that might be something why you were get it. But I'm a grown-ass man. That's not going to work anymore. But it used to. When you're in your 20s and this girl's like, hey, I'm getting a new phone. Look at your phone. Sometimes you make that move.
Yeah. Okay, that was me in high school because my freshman year of high school, I still had like it wasn't like a brick phone, but it was like it was the one where it's like all on one thing with a keyboard, which was nice. It had a full keyboard, but it wasn't like an iPhone. It wasn't touchscreen or anything. And I was like, wait, everyone in my class has the iPhone 4?
At some point, you can't be an outlier anymore. You got to go make the move.
And then I upgraded to the iPhone 3. That was my parents being like, here you go, iPhone 3.
Not the full-on new joint. Yeah. So hopefully, despite us breaking down the non-important part of what he said.
I mean, was there an important part of what he said?
I think the important part is those two are still trying to find some balance. And maybe this – and I think we probably said this earlier in the as we were leading up to the season. This will be an all-year type of deal as these two try to work together to find the right solution to this offense.
Yeah, you just hope that the starting point was a little bit higher than what we saw. Or that you could even just like a snuck a win in there without playing well. You know, you could just sneak that Bucks win.
CJ mentioned the iPhone. They walked into 2025 with the chocolate phone. Remember that? Verizon had that they called it the chocolate. That's what they walked in with. It had a little, you flipped it up and you had the little slide down and it had a keyboard. That's what they walked in with.
Yeah.
That's how bad they were.
They were picking their top five.
Yeah.
Their T-Mobile top five.
Yeah, I wish they were on an iPhone to start the year. Then maybe we would have beat the Rams.
No, they're me in ninth grade getting bullied.
Yeah.
Not really bullied. Just
maybe you reveal some stuff.
Inequity. just feeling the inequity.
Walked in here with a black one. That
everyone's talking about Angry Birds. I can't play it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
CJ and Kaylee had that first
snake though.
Touchscreen BlackBerry.
Yeah. The BlackBerry is now the forgotten. Like that was a baller ass phone.
Yeah.
When it came out,
at one point it was. And then iPhone just stole the market. But hopefully, whatever iPhone you have is great and you're fine. And let's see, continue to upgrade.
Yep.
Maybe there's an update for week five for the Texans. Maybe not a full-on phone, but maybe there's an update on the
offense. Yeah, a patch.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look at this.
That's all I'm
looking
for.
Now it doesn't crash when I
when I drop back the pass. I just want some incremental improvements.
Yeah, while listening to music.
Yeah. When I'm in a clear drop back pass situation, I like not to get blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the patch is for.
Yeah,
that's what Urshery, who is now solidified at your left tackle, no question about it. Cam Robinson out the door. They sent him to Cleveland. Of course.
Oh, and I can turn my flashlight on from the homepage.
These are all things I'm looking for the Texans. I don't need you to be fully operational.
No, just a step forward.
Let me text a couple people. Maybe an emoji works. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, got to get the emoji.
That's all. That's
please, all. Please, CJ.
And look, you're playing a defense who wants you to score on them. The Ravens are inviting you to score on them.
You would be the first team not to score on them.
Take advantage of it. The Ravens almost send out invites for you to score.
There's one play in the Ravens game, Ravens Chiefs game, where it looked like the clips you'll see at like a spring game or like in a high school game where they like let a kid score. It was like that with Xavier Worthy like getting open against a cornerback where it looks like the corner did the like exaggerated fall over, like fall for the juke move and
make
fall
it look
over.
Real. Yeah.
And it like he like fell out of the screen. I'm like, okay, guys, let's tighten up a little bit here.
Yeah, the only team who could not score on them was a Joe Flacco-led team.
Yeah, I was going to say, were they the only ones not to score 40?
Yeah,
they've given up 37, 38, 41.
And then the Browns only score 17. So let's get something in between.
You know, this actually, is this a by proxy, are the Texans, how close to the contender status are the Texans? If they can't score 35 points, you're pretty far away from the Bills.
Yeah, there was a thing as Brian Flores left Miami, became a DC, that Brian, and even in Miami.
Oh, yeah, the Flores line.
The Flores line, I've talked about before, where you're not a good quarterback if you allow Brian Flores to disrupt what you want to do. Look, Lamar Jackson had a miserable night against Flores on a short week, but for the most part, the Josh Allens of the world ate up a Brian Flores defense. The good quarterback, Tom Brady, when he faced them in Tampa, ate him up. The Flores line. The Ravens are that in reverse. If you can't put up 25 to 30, we know that the Texans aren't a good offense. This would solidify them as a bad, bad offense. Offense. If they can't get to like the mid-20s against this Ravens defense.
27, I think, is like where I start sitting up in my seat a little of like, okay, they're doing something. If they get to past the 30 mark, they might be back.
That phone might.
Or the Ravens might just stink out loud.
It could be both. We have a couple of days to wait to find out. I did mention this. The game that's the day before is Cougs versus Tech. So at 11:10, caller 4 wins a pair of tickets to go see the Cougs play Tech. It is a big game, both undefeated. The Cougs can really stamp themselves as a team to pay attention to. They're a double-digit underdog, so Tech is thought of pretty highly. But if you want your chance to go to the Cougs, call in at 11:10, caller 4, 713-780-3776, caller 4 at 11:10. It's a big game for Willie Fritz and the Cougs. They're coming off a heart-stopping win, really, in Corvallis last Friday where they were in some trouble, big trouble, found a way to win. Let's see if they can use that momentum to beat Tech in their own building at TDECU. So it's going to be a fun night of hard-hitting action, great plays. And where are your Houston Blue? The Cougs are breaking out those uniforms, the uniforms everyone loves, the Houston Blue. So you want to wear those, your colors, because, you know, Tech's coming to town. They're going to be wearing red and black. Let's show that you're a Houston fan by breaking out the Houston Blue. If you can't win tickets from us, you can call the Cougs at 713-GO-COUGS or go to uhcougars.com/tickets for your opportunity to watch your undefeated Cougs against the undefeated Texas Tech Red Raiders. So once again, caller 4 at 1110. Wins those tickets. We're done with hour one. We'll come back with hour two when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.